How did this concept come about to, like, bring Brain Boy back from the dead, basically?
Well, you know, I think that the Dark Horse that did the they did an archive of the original series, which is sort of wonderful and insane, from the early 60s. And late last year, Jim Gibbons, my terrific editor, asked if I'd be interested in taking a stab at it. And, you know, they sent me their hardcover archive, and I was certainly impressed because I had never heard of Brain Boy before, and I'm a pretty hardcore nerd, and I wrote a book called The Comic History of Comics, and so I consider myself fairly knowledgeable about comics, and I never heard of this character before, and I sort of found out that after Dell Comics lost their Disney license, they sort of tried to keep their comics line alive by launching some titles, none of which really took off very well, but there was sort of a wonderful merging in Brain Boy of that early 60s kind of Marvel style superheroes with another huge, you know, pop culture trend in the early 60s, which is James Bond and the espionage stuff. And so I'm a huge fan of the espionage genre, huge James Bond fan. In fact, I actually worked at the United Nations before I became a professional comics writer, so I had knowledge of sort of international affairs and NGOs and all that stuff. So I was able to sort of take those interests, and so I took kind of the gonzo sort of James Bond stuff, and I tried to make it more sort of real world. I heavily researched the United Secret Service, and you know, the series, I'm sure you know, it takes place during the United Nations General Assembly, which, because I work there, I do quite a lot about. So I was trying to sort of merge the fantasy of having psychic bodyguards and psychic secret service agents fighting psychic assassins, have a real kind of, you know, real-world grounding to it.
Do you think the series has the potential to, like, you know, be an ongoing, you know, event, so to speak? I mean, I saw the first issue was released, and then I haven't seen anything since. So what are the plans moving forward?
Oh, well, the second issue came out last week.
Ah, okay, there you go.
So it's there. It is there for purchase. May have gotten lost slightly in the New York Comic Con hubbub. But, you know, it's still going strong. I'm working on the sequel. I'm very excited to announce that I'll be working with the R.B. Silva's been great on the main title, but returning to Freddie Williams the second, who drew the Brain Boy serial, the first Brain Boy serial in Dark Horse Presents. So we're super excited to have him back on the board.
For people that haven't checked out the series, what do you think you could say to entice them?
Well, it's a really interesting mythology and a really interesting world of, as I said, psychic bodyguards trying to stop, you know, in a world of psychic powers. You know, it's sort of a weapon, and what we see with any kind of technology in history is that every time a new weapon comes out, a new defensive procedure is developed against it. And so that's really what Brain Boy represents. Matt Price, who's the main character in Brain Boy in the series, is not a term of endearment. He does not like being called Brain Boy. There's lots of spies who think he's going to, you know, he and the psychic agents like him are going to cost him their job. But they have dubbed him Brain Boy, but it's a milieu that's very close to our own world, but I think with just enough fantasy to really make it super fun. He's a very engaging character. The person I kept the character I kind of compared to was House MD. that great show. And he's kind of like a psychic house. But he's kind of a, you know, he's a young kid who can read people's minds, so he thinks he knows everything, even more than usual teenagers do. So that makes him a tad insufferable, but in a lot of ways, Brain Boy is attempting to, it's sort of showing how a kid like that grows up not just into a man, but into a hero.
How do you find the time to write all this stuff? I mean, you're writing, I think you're writing Archer and Armstrong, you're writing this, you do a bunch of work for other companies. What's, you know, what's your day-to-day schedule like?
Well, you know, I usually give a glib answer like I smoke a lot of meth, but that's not true. No, the dirty little secret is that most comics pencilers save up 5 to 6 weeks of books. So that means you can actually write six monthly titles. Anyone who's writing more than six monthly titles needs to get their head examined, so that's crazy. So I'm doing Conan, Brain Boy, Archer Armstrong, and Magnus, Robot Fighter. So that's four. So I'm actually, and I'm doing some creator-owned stuff in between. So I'm doing four monthly titles. So, and Brain Boy isn't really technically a monthly title. It's sort of acting like a monthly title right now, but it's really a series of miniseries. So basically, as long as you can do about a week of script, which is about my average, you can squeeze in, if you're insane, six books. If you're like me, a little, I feel like I think Marvel, I was doing six books at one point. Four is more of my wheelhouse. So it looks like a lot, but really, the key is that you rarely have an artist that only takes 4 weeks of books. You can actually squeeze in six for the reasonable schedule.
I gotcha. As far as your goals for the future, you've written so many different characters over the years. Is there a character that you say to yourself, like, oh, I would love to work on that book one day, or be able to, like, work on something with that character?
Well, what I'm most interested in working on my own characters and to create your own stuff, and what's exciting is this week I'll be signing some contracts to have a major non-work-for-hire create-your-own book come out next year. So after doing work-for-hire for many years, having started out doing solely my own independent books, sort of moving now finally back into the realm of having a whole bunch of creator own work, and I couldn't be more excited.
Okay, without giving anything away, is there anything that like we can expect from you moving forward as far as like your own characters?
The next book, I will just say it is a crime book with a twist.
Is there anything that you would want to say to young comic book readers out there that are thinking maybe one day writing comics might be for them? What should they expect?
Well, what they should do is make their own comics. It's what I did. It's what, you know, Brian Michael Bendis did. It's what Matt Fraction did. It's what Ed Brubaker did. It's what any number of people, you know, that, you know, made it into this business did. Is they did their own, create their own works first. And that's, you know, if you want to write comics, first you can make comics. We're in an environment where Marvel and DC and the companies will pay you to do that will only do so if you've already proven beforehand that you're a bankable commodity or someone they can trust, you know.